In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So as I read this gospel again this morning, it comes up every 3 years in the lectionary, and I think it's been those 3 years since I've really paid attention to this one. I immediately had disdain for the son who said he would do something and then failed to do it. As a second grader, I had a teacher who promised me if I completed a certain workbook that I would receive a special prize at the end from her. So I worked hard at completing the notebook, and one day I ceremoniously handed her the notebook. I awaited my special prize. I never got a special prize. And from that day on, I vowed I would never be like my second grade teacher. I would always make good on my promises. And from then on, I also made her into a type of person, the type of person who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. But as Episcopal priest Suzanne Guthrie says, both sons in the parable insult their father. Both sons clearly need a change of mind and heart. And if we're telling the truth about ourselves, we are all walking around living like each of these sons, or one or the other, most of the time. Saying we will do things and not following through. Refusing to do things and then later figuring out that we ought to have done them. Or going and finally doing them. So I think it's funny that the first thing I did was identify someone else who was like the first son. Today we find the chief priest trying to do the same, figure out what's wrong with this Jesus. And so they try to pick an argument about his authority. Now, mind you, this is where this text is located. It comes after Jesus has entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He has mocked the triumphal entries of people on chariots who rule the empire. This is after he's flipped the tables. Jesus has been making holy trouble all weekend. And these leaders are wondering, who the heck does this guy think he is? There's an internet joke making the rounds that goes like this. A drunk man who smelled like beer sat down on a subway next to a priest. The man's tie was stained, his face was plastered with red lipstick, and a half-empty bottle of gin was sticking out of his torn coat pocket. He opened his newspaper and began reading. After a few minutes, the man turned to the priest and asked, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest replies, "My son, it's caused by loose living, being with cheap, wicked women, too much alcohol, contempt for your fellow man, sleeping around with prostitutes, and a lack of bath." The drunk muttered in response, "Well, I'll be darned." And then he returned to his paper. The priest, thinking about what he'd said, nudged the man and apologized. "I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to come on so strong. How long have you had arthritis?" The drunk answered, "I don't have it, Father, but I was just reading here that the Pope does." The reality is, hypocritical, self-righteous provocateurs come in all forms and presences. In Jesus' exchange with the chief priests and elders, he holds a mirror up to them. And I think it's important to note this nuance as Jesus explains his short parable. He says, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." This is the thing to note. Jesus didn't say, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God and you're not." Jesus makes it clear, all are welcome in this kingdom. The ones who say they won't do it and do, the ones who say they will and don't do it. He's showing us by this parable that often the ones who talk the talk aren't the ones who walk the walk. And that can be condemning for church people like us who know the right words by heart and then go into the world pretty removed from the spirit of our prayer. I believe this touches on the most challenging part of our newish mission statement here at Calvary. To be open to God's grace, recognizing that we are all broken saints and redeemed sinners. As we constructed this mission statement, this is the one that made some folks on the Mission and Vision team the most uncomfortable. I remember one person saying, "What kind of people will this attract?" The reality is that each and every one of us are in most times and most places ourselves broken saints and redeemed sinners. That's why we include a confession in our worship every week. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, in things done and left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In today's gospel, Jesus holds up the broken ones who are the ones who can recognize the vastness of their own weaknesses and vulnerabilities. These are the ones that knew they could not attain holiness on their own. They knew they needed Jesus. So they clung to the waters of baptism. They clung to the prayers of repentance and submitted to Jesus' authority because they knew they couldn't fully live without Jesus' authority. If religion has become casual and optional for us, maybe because we haven't yet recognized the extent of our lostness. Our work each and every week, part of it is to examine our consciences. Which son am I? This gospel is not meant for us to identify the people around us who are like each of the sons, but to take a hard look at our own lives. You and I are meant to be confronted by this gospel. Am I the son who makes promises and then fails to keep them? Am I the one who thinks simply uttering the words of the prayers by rote is enough? Who believes the confirmation service or the baptism or receiving Eucharist each week is the end game instead of the initiation into and reminder of a lifetime of repentance? Or am I the son who really doesn't have the right words and is more apt to push back on God, but finally repents and obeys? The one who might not sound at all pious and spiritual, but still does the work of love and mercy in the places of everyday life? Am I the son who first lives and knows the mess, but keeps recognizing God at work all around me, here and now, anyway? Am I the son who changes his mind when the hope of transformation in God reveals itself? We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.